T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
5310.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
Goal. Would you stop talking so I can enjoy this peaceful game?
How peaceful can it be hacking it up all day, bud? You suck.
You're terrible.
Look, the geese.
Gooses!
They're just pheasants with better marketing.
You have a problem with a can of gooses. You got a problem with me, and I suggest you let that one marinate.
And most people don't know this, but Canada Gooses were the deciding factor in the 1995 Quebec referendum. They kept this country together.
That's not true! The geese...
Gooses!
I will call off the oiling of the goose eggs, all right? If you will leave this golf course and let the members of the Letterkenny, Grey Grant, Capric Creek, Whistle Ridge Golf and Country Club play this game in peace!
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Saturday morning here on WGR. That means it's Sports Talk Saturday at 11:01 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, filling in for Nate Geary this week. Thanks again for tuning in. Got a lot of lot to talk about this morning. We got plenty of football action to talk about with the Bills getting ready to face the Chiefs. We got college football today. We've got NFL action going on tomorrow that doesn't pertain to the Bills. Again, the Bills are playing on Monday afternoon, late afternoon, I should say, at 5 o'clock due to, obviously, everything with the scheduling issues with last week's game that had to be played on Tuesday. By the way, NFL never play another Tuesday night game ever again that features the Buffalo Bills. I'll just leave that at that. So the Bills had to be moved from Thursday night, which was supposed to be 2 nights ago. The Bills were supposed to play the Chiefs, and now they're going to be playing on Monday night. So we got football to talk about. We got even some hockey to talk about. We'll recap kind of everything that's going on with the Sabres and everything that's happened with the whole Taylor Hall saga with getting him signed and everything. So plenty of topics to talk about today. You're more than welcome to join us at any point. 803-0550 is our local number here, 716 area code. You can text us at that number as well. If you're out of the 716 area code and you still need the toll-free number, it's 1-888-550-2550. And of course, you could also tweet at us on Twitter at BJ Wilson WGR is where you can reach me. You can tweet the WGR account at WGR 550. And Corey Griswold's on the board once again. You could tweet him always if you want to. You can interact with him at Corey Griswold. That's Corey with an E. And get in on the fun today. We got quite the lineup coming up. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to chat in with our own Sal Capaccio. We're going to catch up with him, catch up on what's going on with the Bills at practice today, at practice yesterday. The final injury report is expected to come out later on this afternoon, as we will probably find out who's in and who's out of the lineup for Monday night's game. At noon, we're going to talk some more Bills football as we're going to chat with Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com. He'll join us as practice is going to get underway at around 12:20-ish today. So we'll chat with Matt for a few minutes. Then at 12:30, we'll chat with Soren Petro from 810 AM in Kansas City. He's going to join us, and we're going to get a perspective on the Chiefs going forward. And then at 1:30, we're going to speak a little bit of hockey. We're going to chat with our good buddy Joe Yurden, hashtag the noted jerk on Twitter. He's on at 1:30, and we'll talk some hockey then at that point. But again, you can chat with us at any time this morning, 803-0550 to join us, 1-888-550 to 550, because I'm really looking forward to getting on today, talking some football, talking about this past game, and also just getting the chance to also talk some hockey and really getting into an article that I wrote for the website yesterday, and that has already driven some criticism on my part. And has also really riled up some people about what I wrote about. And yeah, if you haven't read it, feel free to go check it out, but feel free to also call with your thoughts. And I also want to talk today plenty about what this game means for the Bills on Monday. Is this game, I don't want to say it's almost a must win, just because, you know, the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the NFL, and you're going to have to play one of the best teams, the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is on the team. They're going to add Le'Veon Bell, although he's not playing this week, but he's going to be on the team. And, you know, they've just got so many other really, really talented pieces on that roster in Kansas City. And the Bills are going to have a tough challenge, but, you know, I'm not necessarily calling this a must win, just because that if they lose, they fall back to 4-2. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, you definitely want to prove to everybody around the league that, okay, last week was just a fluke. It was a fluke game. It happens. Tennessee's still a good team. They've got a good defense in their offense. You know, Derrick Henry's obviously the bell cow back that they have, a ground and pound type of guy. And Ryan Tannehill, since joining the Titans, has proven that, hey, I'm still a legitimate quarterback here, and I'm still able to carry my teams to victory when we need it most. And that happened last week, and the Bills, obviously injuries did not help, and the team kind of laid an egg overall, offensively, defensively. Even though Josh Allen still looked relatively good, the team laid an egg, and the final result was 42-16. But we'll get your thoughts on last week's game. We'll get your thoughts on this upcoming game against Kansas City. But right now, let's head out to the West Her Hotline as we'll bring in our own Sal Capaccio, who's down in Orchard Park at One Bills Drive to take in this afternoon's practice. Sal, good morning.
Good morning. I'll be there in just a few minutes. So yeah, 11:30 Saturday practice, which is kind of different, obviously. But Saturday becomes a Friday when you play on Monday. Basically, you just kind of work backwards. So yesterday was more like a Thursday, even though it was a Friday, if that makes sense. So we'll have a quick practice today. We won't be able to watch much of it. I should say the media, for me, it's quick. But we already know that Dawson Knox has been ruled out of Monday's game. Sean McDermott met with us this morning via Zoom.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that, Sal, with just what Sean McDermott had to say this morning. You know, obviously Dawson Knox, calf injury that he suffered against Tennessee. Really kind of bummed out about that, because I was really looking forward to seeing how maybe Dawson Knox would be utilized in a game like this against a Kansas City defense that, you know, obviously their run defense has been great, but, you know, I certainly think that the Bills could utilize a player like Dawson Knox through the middle there in this game to really gain those short yardage plays there. But what else was it that Sean McDermott said of any notice that you took in this morning?
Yeah, first of all, on the point about Knox, I agree with you. I think that this is the kind of game where a guy like that can make a difference, right? But I think the Bills also have another tight end in Tyler Kroft who is very similar. So I wonder if Tyler Kroft could, you know, play a role in this game, because this is going to be, by all accounts, you'd think, more of a higher scoring game. I mean, the over-under is the highest over-under in Bills history, by the way, 57.5, which is amazing. So you never know. You might be able to find that matchup. And, you know, Dawson Knox, I think, an opportunity here, not for him, but for Tyler Kroft. So we'll see. And as far as everybody else, that's the only really negative news on the injury front. Everything else is positive right now. Now, we will get the final injury status of the week later today, Brayton, but it's looking good, I think, for guys like Tre'Davious White, John Brown, even Matt Milano, who I thought might be on the shelf for a couple of weeks. You know, he was a full participant in practice, not even wearing a red non-contact jersey. All of them, Sean McDermott said, we'll see about those guys and everybody else on the roster. But I think it's trending really well for all of those guys to play, and we will see later on today. Now, Tremaine Edmonds was wearing a red non-contact jersey, but Sean McDermott said, you know, it's just something he's going to have to deal with all year. They're going to take it on a week-by-week basis, the shoulder injury he's dealing with. So, you know, it's more precautionary than anything, but you still have to make sure he gets through the week before he can officially say he can play on Sunday, or on Monday in this case.
Yeah, Sal, obviously with the over-under you just mentioned being 57.5, I mean, that's absolutely crazy, just because both of these teams have had their offensive flashes, and the defenses have been you know, less than up to par this year, I guess, with how they've performed. But this is something that I think that we haven't seen in a really long time in the first place, is a matchup going into a week where both teams are projected to put up these high offensive numbers. And I was saying this earlier in the week on a local podcast that I was on, that if this game features, you know, two teams that just came off of pretty bad losses against teams that they probably should have beaten the week before, they're going to go into Orchard Park this Monday, and they're just going to look to light it up. And if that's the case, I'm looking forward to seeing a game where both teams are putting up 30-plus points and maybe even getting higher, like an offensive shootout, which we haven't seen in Buffalo since I can't remember when.
No, I agree with you. You know, the thing that might slow it down a bit is the weather. I've been monitoring that, obviously, so I got to be down there in the moat. And, you know, it's looking like less likely of a chance of rain, but still a chance of rain. Actually, now I think this morning there was more of a chance than there was yesterday, but we could see some rain. And we'll see. Maybe that impacts, you know, the scoring affair that we're going to have or not going to have. But you're right. I think this is a game that sets up to have, I mean, look, you got a league MVP from a couple of years ago who became a Super Bowl champion last year. A guy who, in Josh Allen, and that was obviously Patrick Mahomes, and a guy in Josh Allen who's playing at a league MVP type of level this year, and the way he's been kind of carrying the offense, the way the Bills have been scoring and attacking down the field. You know, we saw what the loss of John Brown did to this team last week, and they weren't able to strike as much and as often down the field. But if John Brown can play, you know, you saw what the Raiders did with Henry Ruggs getting behind the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think that's got to be in the Bills' plan. It's got to be in their arsenal to be able to take the top off the Chiefs' defense, attack down the field, and let's face it, that's the Bills' identity this year, and we all know that that's the Chiefs' identity anyway. They will be without Sammy Watkins, but they still have Tyreek Hill. They still have Mecole Hardman. They still have Travis Kelce. They still have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and obviously Le'Veon Bell will not be playing in this game. He was just signed by them a couple days ago.
Sal, I don't know how much you've watched of the Raiders-Chiefs game from last week, if you've gotten the chance to take a look back at any of the tape at all, but certainly it seemed like the Raiders' defense did a really nice job of containing that offense and containing Patrick Mahomes, because let's be honest here, Mahomes is the centerpiece of that offense. Anything that happens on the field is directly correlated to what he does. And it was amazing to, from everything that I heard from people and the little things that I saw on Twitter, maybe, where, you know, the Raiders did a nice job of making sure that there was not going to be any breakout play or big play from Mahomes or the Kansas City offense that would have hurt them. And it was a huge factor in them getting the chance to beat the Chiefs and get another win, especially in Kansas City, too.
Yeah, 100%. Look, what they really did was they got there with four for the most part. Now, they weren't putting him on the ground a lot, but they made him move. They made him roll out. They got him off his spot, as they say. And if you can do that with four, and then you can have seven guys, you know, back cover it in coverage, underneath, over the top, whatever, that's going to really limit the number of options he has. And then once he starts moving away and he starts rolling out, now he's only reading even maybe half or three-quarters of the field. It even limits even more the options that he has. And the Raiders did a really good job of that. You're never going to totally hold them back. I mean, they still got their chances. They still completed passes. They still made plays. But it really made it a little bit more frustrating for them. In a lot of ways, the way Tennessee kind of did to Buffalo, to be quite honest with you. But the challenge for the Bills here, Brayton, is I don't know if they can get to Patrick Mahomes with their front four, because their pass rush from their front four hasn't been that great. Now, maybe they'll find ways. Maybe they'll see something that the Raiders did on film for that offensive line and say, okay, we could do what they did here. So maybe the Bills can do that, but that's the challenge. If the Bills can get there with four, then that would really give them a much greater opportunity. The other part of it is, and you touched on it here, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a really good athlete, and I don't think he gets credit a lot of times, if people forget at least, how good of an athlete he is, not just a passer of the football. His dad was a Major League Baseball pitcher. You know, this is a kid that he played an air raid offense, spread the field in college, and now, you know, when he moves, he's mobile. He can get out. He can run. He's already, you know, in his career, he has some nice rushing stats. He's got Josh Allen, but he can move and he can get out there, and when he does have, when they do break contain with him running the football, it's still going to be a good 5-6 yards in the open field for him.
Sal, is there anything about this Chiefs defense that does concern you going into this game? Because obviously we saw Josh Allen, and we heard Josh Allen throughout the week where, you know, he said, you know, the decision that he made when he got picked the second time by Malcolm Butler, those little things he's got to be better with. Is there anything with this defense that makes you a little concerned heading into this game? Or is this one of those things where, as long as the Bills are doing their job and executing and all the cliches that we hear from Sean McDermott and the rest of the team, you know, as long as they're going out and executing and doing their 111th on the field, that, you know, that we could see this high offensive octane game?
Yeah, I mean, their pass rush is good. They have good pass rush players, right? I mean, when you're talking about a guy like Chris Jones, we all know he's a really good player. You know, they can really get after you at times. And that's going to be a bit of an issue for the Bills to make sure that they contain that. But they did a really nice job last year. On the second half of last year, Steve Spagnuolo really did a nice job of galvanizing that defense and having them come together and play well. It was always kind of the Achilles heel of them when they've gone into this new era with Patrick Mahomes and outscoring everybody. They just couldn't hold anybody down. Now, look, it's still not a great defense, but they can make plays. And the other part of it is, you know, they have the ability to match you when you spread the field with their secondary players. They understood, and they built their team to be able to do that, basically knowing, hey, other teams are going to have to outscore us. They're going to basically attack. We better have good enough, stable enough secondary players to be able to spread the field and match them personnel-wise. And the Chiefs can really do that. But opportunities will present themselves. There's no doubt about that. But I would say, you know, the pass rush from the Chiefs and a guy like Chris Jones, if he can, you know, get going, I think that's going to be scary. The Bills are going to have a game plan to make sure that they can't get after Josh Allen.
Sal, with the Buffalo defense looking ahead now, we've got the potential, where, as you said earlier, we're likely to see Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White back in the lineup as their practice status has looked relatively good throughout the entire week. With the way that they're coming back and how vital they are to the Buffalo defense, we saw Tennessee attack Buffalo, really nothing in the deep part. We saw them attack the middle of the field and really attack in the short game. How much is it going to really make a difference with these guys back in, so, you know, the middle of the defense isn't exactly going to be, or the middle of the field isn't exactly going to be as wide open for the Chiefs as it might have been if these guys weren't in the lineup?
First of all, let me also, by the way, just go back to my previous answer. I kept saying Chris Jones. I meant to say Frank Clark more than anybody. Sorry about that. Frank Clark. Obviously, Chris Jones is a defensive tackle, but for some reason I had him on the brain as I was looking at their starting lineup today. But Frank Clark is the guy you really got to worry about. Sorry about that. I kept saying that. I was just misspeaking. I wanted to make sure I got that clear. All right. So anyway, you know, the Bills were really challenged last week. Obviously, without Tre'Davious White, suddenly you have to have Josh Norman become your number one corner. And then a guy in Cam Lewis, who, even though he played some special team snaps earlier in the year, he had never played on defense in the NFL. His first snap on defense, he had to go tackle Derrick Henry. It's like, oh my gosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he played pretty well. And that's going to hurt you just from a standpoint of personnel-wise to make sure you're dipping in your depth chart. And then the middle of the defense, Tremaine Edmonds hasn't been himself. We know that. He has had a couple rough games. I thought he played pretty well considering everything on Tuesday night, but he is dealing with that injury. And then Matt Milano, I actually think Terrell Dodson is a nice, you know, fill-in for Matt Milano, but he's not Matt Milano. Matt Milano is a really good player. The Bills need all hands on deck for a game like this. I wonder if we see Cam Lewis play a little more in this game, whether that's outside, inside. Taron Johnson had a rough night. I wonder if the Bills do rotate him in, give him a little more playing time. Let's see if he can, you know, give them something a little more that they didn't have in the secondary. Because with Tre'Davious White coming back, that obviously allows Josh Norman to go back to his normal role, which is a complimentary piece. And we think Tre'Davious White's going to come back, by the way. You know, but I think obviously it does matter. You just can't be down that many players in an NFL game and expect to be yourself on defense, and especially against a team like the Kansas City Chiefs that has weapons everywhere you look.
Sal, last thing I'll ask you before I let you go. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, he chooses to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs over the Bills. A, were you surprised by the move? And B, what do you think that does to Kansas City's offense and what he adds to the picture there?
It's amazing. You know, I'm not surprised he chose to go to Kansas City. I mean, he has a chance to win a championship there with that team. I thought maybe Miami would be the play for him because he does train down there. He's at home down there. Maybe he felt more comfortable just being down there. And the fact that, you know, they need a running back. The Chiefs don't need a running back, but they could absolutely use Le'Veon Bell because anybody could, just like the Bills. The Bills, I don't think, need a running back, but if you get a guy like Le'Veon Bell, it helps you. And I think what it does for Kansas City is it just puts another chess piece on the board that a defense has to worry about, really. I mean, that guy spreading the field from the passing game standpoint is just going to be another weapon at Patrick Mahomes' disposal. So, you know, there's only one football to go around, but anytime you can just add playmakers and elite talent like that, and I think he still is a really, really good talent. I don't know if, you know, he's going to ever be what he was a few years ago in Pittsburgh, probably not, but I think he's just still very good. I don't think he had a chance to be that good in New York with given their head coach and their offense and, you know, what they have around him. But, yeah, that's just a big chess piece, and I'm glad, for the Bills' sake, they don't have to face him on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, right. All right, Sal. Well, thanks again for taking the time to join me here this morning. Enjoy the practice, even though it's a little cloudy out now. I think it is supposed to get better this weekend weather-wise.
Yeah, we'll see about Monday. Though, like I said, I know there's rain is in the forecast for Monday. I guess it's maybe around what time that rain is going to come. But otherwise, today, it's a very nice autumn or slash fall afternoon for a football practice. It's going to be a quick one. We'll keep everybody updated. We'll find out the official injury report for the game a little bit later today.
All right. Thanks, Sal. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Wester Hotline. If you don't follow him on Twitter already, what are you doing? Follow him at Sal Sports. He's going to have all your Bills updates for this weekend and throughout the entire season. And you can also follow Sal on everything that's going on with the Bills on our website, at our new look website, WGR550.com. And as Sal wrote this morning, of course, Dawson Knox has already been ruled out for this Sunday against the Chiefs. Sean McDermott confirming that this morning in his regular Friday slash Saturday conference call that he had, a Zoom call, since they're not doing any live press conferences or anything like that. It's been that way the entire year. But Dawson Knox, he's ruled out. Everyone else is a quote-unquote we'll see situation in terms of the injury report. And yesterday's injury report was a very good one for the Bills, as Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White both upgraded to full participants. I believe John Brown was also a full participant in yesterday's practice. But the only concern maybe a little bit is that Tremaine Edmonds went from having no designation on Thursday to being limited yesterday and wearing a red non-contact jersey. Quentin Spain also a limited participant at practice yesterday, as he continues to deal with some foot soreness that unfortunately saw him come out of the lineup on Tuesday night, right as, you know, probably an hour before they officially announced the inactives. There was a because we get texts from the PR staff and the Bills that say, like, you know, oh, hey, this guy is going to be on, you know, Zoom Room 1 to talk with the media or anything like that. But we got the text message saying that Quentin Spain was dealing with some foot soreness in pregame warmups, and he was going to be inactive for the game. So hopefully for the Bills' sake, they will be able to have all of these guys ready to go for Monday afternoon's game. Again, John Brown, full participant with a knee injury. Matt Milano, full participant with a pec. Zach Moss looks like he's going to return to the lineup after his toe injuries kept him out for the past two or three games. And Tre'Davious White, a full participant with his back injury. So good news on the Bills injury front. A lot of people are getting relatively healthy. Even I think Levi Wallace was still maybe practicing off to the side, but he's on injured reserve, and I think he's got another 2 weeks to go before he's able to return because he was placed on injured reserve. So he'll miss this Monday's game and then the next game against the Jets before he returns on November 1st to take on the New England Patriots. 803-0550 is the number here to reach us at. 1-888-550-2550 is the toll-free number if you want to get on the show, if you want to talk about the Bills game, if you want to talk about...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period
at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
How important this game necessarily is for your belief in this team. Because I definitely am one of these guys that watching Tuesday's game, you know, I didn't like what I saw in Tuesday's game. I don't think really many people liked what they saw in Tuesday's game, just with the way that the team came out and the way that they performed and the way they reacted kind of to the Josh Allen interception on the first drive. The offense did a really nice job reacting on the next drive, but then after that, it kind of seemed like they got maybe a little too comfortable. Maybe they kind of sat back a little bit, but you know, after that interception, it certainly did not have a good feeling right afterwards. You just kind of had that feeling in the pit of your stomach, just like, I don't know how this game's going to play out. That certainly wasn't exactly a great play where, you know, the ball is in and out of Andre Roberts' hands and it bounces up and it's easily picked by Malcolm Butler. He just had to go up and just get two hands on it and bring it in. Just a really nice, easy pick for him. And sure, there are people that said, well, Josh Allen's got to make a better throw there. Yeah, maybe he can make a better throw, but certainly that's a catchable ball. I mean, it goes right in and out of the hands of Andre Roberts and into the hands of Malcolm Butler. And from there, it kind of just snowballed. Yes, the offense came right back next drive, scored the 3-yard touchdown from Isaiah McKenzie. But after that, it just never felt like the offense really had any urgency to kind of take that next step and get back on top. And by halftime, the Titans go down the field. They get that touchdown from Ryan Tannehill. And once again, you're kind of left there feeling like, okay, you know, the Titans are going to get the ball for the second half. Defense has got to go out there and make a play or else it feels like this game's almost relatively over. Well, the Titans go out first drive. They get their score. And then Josh Allen comes out on the field. And a lot of time was kind of run in that third quarter with those drives. The first drive, the Titans took their time with the clock. And then the Bills came out and, you know, they were picking up their third downs, which was really good to see. It's obviously a key factor in being able to win football games in the NFL and being able to eat up clock as if you're picking up those third downs. And the Bills won the time of possession battle and did a really nice, effective job. It's just the mistakes ended up killing this team. And especially after that second interception thrown by Josh Allen, I remember just kind of looking on Twitter immediately afterwards and the reactions from people just, you know, yeah, this can't win them all, I guess. And then it just really got ugly downhill from there where the Titans then just continued to stack up garbage points as time was running down. Another Andre Roberts fumble on special teams, and just it really did not feel good. And as the player said throughout the week, it just left a bad taste in your mouth throughout the entire week, where it's just like, we want to come back and we want to win this game. And that's kind of what you want to hear from a team like this. And I don't know, and I know that we have heard it a lot from this Bills squad over the years during the drought and for the past couple of years when they've been back been a relevant team, where we just want to get this bad taste out of our mouth. But this year, and maybe a little bit last year too, it almost feels different because of the fact that, hey, this team actually is a contending team, a team that can seriously compete for maybe a Super Bowl this year. At least they can get into the playoffs and maybe get deep into the playoffs. But certainly this time around, it feels a little different just because I think that Josh Allen is playing at that caliber where after he threw that interception to Malcolm Butler last week, he certainly was upset. You could see how upset he was. He made the tackle because nobody else could bring him down. He had to go make the tackle. And afterwards, you could see him and really, really mad at himself because of the bad throw that he made and just the way that he performed. And you know, I want to see that type of spirit going into this game. I want to see these guys a little bit angry. I want to see them go out there with a little bit of spunk and a little bit of initiative, maybe that they lacked in the Tennessee game, really, really make a response against a Kansas City Chiefs team that arguably is just as good as you are. I mean, they're probably a little better because they are the Super Bowl champions, and Patrick Mahomes is a, you know, former MVP, even though, you know, I former, sounds like it's been a while, but he was the MVP back in 2018. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a good running back. He's a guy that can catch the football, and he can also, you know, he can also run the ball. Maybe not as great as he can with catching the ball, but, you know, now they add Le'Veon Bell. He's not going to play this week, but certainly this is the type of team and the way that they spoke throughout the week where when they say, we want to get that bad taste out of our mouth and we're going to learn from this and all the cliches that you normally hear, this is one of those weeks where I kind of felt like, yeah, I can believe their cliches. I can believe that they're going to come out and they're going to bounce back because, as I said with Sal, if we see an offensive shootout between these two teams and we're seeing scores well above 30 points for both teams and the final score is something like 38-35, whether it's in the Bills' favor or the Chiefs' favor, that might be the most fun game that we've seen in Buffalo in a really long time. Could we even say that this game has the potential to be an all-time classic? Because I think that if both teams are looking to go guns blazing on offense after the losses that they put up this past week, I think we could see a high-octane offensive game that will be remembered for a very long time. And if that can happen, I am all for it, 100%. Because I honestly can't remember a game where offense was the driving force for both teams, and it was just surefire, just left and right, back and forth, the scores fluctuating, and it's just a fun environment and a fun game to watch and pay attention to, and hopefully we're going to get that this week. But you're more than welcome to join and give us your thoughts on this game. 803-0551, 888-552-550. What is your level of importance for this game? Is this game one where it's a must win? Is it, yeah, we probably should win? Or are you thinking, you know, if the Bills lose, it's not a big deal because, again, you're facing another really good team and, you know, you're going to face the Jets next week, then you're going to face the Patriots, and the Patriots game is the more important one because, you know, hey, it's the Patriots. We need to win the division, and that's the first team we want to beat is New England. Feel free to give us your thoughts. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. You can tweet us. You can text us. Feel free to join us any way possible. Again, coming up at noon, we're going to talk with Matt Parrino from NewYorkUpstate.com. The Bills are going to be stepping out onto the practice field any moment now. We'll get his thoughts after practice, and then we'll also talk with Seren Petro at 12:30 from 810 AM Kansas City. And also at 1:30, it'll be Joe Yurden, hashtag the noted jerk, joining us to talk some hockey. But phone lines are going to be open most of the time. We want to get your thoughts. We want to get your comments, your questions, anything you have on the table. Lay it out there for us. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Brayton Wilson here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. We're rocking here on this Saturday morning into the afternoon here. Sports Talk Saturday, WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson filling in for Nate Geary this week. Chatting plenty of Bills, football, hockey, Sabres, anything you want to talk about this morning. It's all on the table. And we're going to chat all about it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Hit us up on Twitter at WGR550, at BJ Wilson WGR, at Corey Griswold as well. Feel free to always tweet out love to the producers.
You don't have to.
Don't listen to him.
I don't want any part of the wrist aligning chatter you were getting.
No, oh, okay. You. Okay, well, we'll get to that later.
Don't What's worry. A saber? Never heard of it.
Don't worry about it. We'll get to wrist aligning later because I've got plenty to say about wrist aligning here, Corey, that I know that is going to generate some more chatter than I've already gotten on Twitter yesterday when I posted my article last night. And I'm going to explain my reasoning for why I wrote this article. Don't worry. For anybody that is upset at me for writing this article, don't worry. I will make my reasonings very clear on that. But we're still talking football in the meantime. And you're more than welcome to call us. We got a couple calls on the line. We'll get to you in just a second. 803-0550. Text line's also available. Text us at any point, whenever you want. 716-803-0550. Texter writes in. Feel free to sign your text just so we know who's texting it out there. Texter writes in that Dawson Knox will need to be replaced next offseason. He can't stay healthy and he can't consistently catch. Well, I guess I have a couple things to say. Yes, his injuries this season have been a bit concerning. He certainly last year, I don't think he missed any games last year, or if he did, that it wasn't anything that forced him to be out of the lineup all too much. I like Dawson Knox. He's proven that when he catches the ball, he's absolutely a guy, a force to be reckoned with. He played 15 games last year, started 11 games. He missed one game. So, yes, this year the injuries aren't helping, but Dawson Knox is a guy that once he catches the ball, it's really, really tough to bring him down. And I brought it up with Sal. I really was looking forward to this game, seeing Dawson Knox and how he was going to be utilized against this Chiefs defense, because I think a player like Dawson Knox in a game like this, you're going to have to match up against a guy like Travis Kelce for Kansas City and his ability to utilize the middle of the field and be a force, because we know Travis Kelce is a physical force down the middle of the field and he is a top weapon for the Chiefs. And with the Bills offense, I think that they really need to utilize Dawson Knox a little bit more. I think they could utilize him more. But yes, your point is very true. Can't consistently catch. We saw that on Tuesday night. He makes a really nice catch and another nice stiff arm to gain some extra yardage. I believe he got the first down on the play. And the next play, they go right back to him on a ball that was easily catchable. And he had it go straight through his hands. Which, unfortunately, is something we've seen too much from Dawson Knox. And it needs to be better. We need to see Dawson Knox be able to catch the ball consistently, like you pointed out. Now, I'd like to go get another tight end next year and have, you know, maybe a better option than Tyler Kroft. But yeah, Tyler Kroft in week 3 was a pivotal player on offense when Dawson Knox was out. He was a guy that was able to bring in the important catches, including the game-winning touchdown. So yeah, maybe like Sal said, maybe we see Tyler Kroft get utilized more this week against this Chiefs defense. Maybe we see Lee Evans get utilized more. We haven't seen Tommy Sweeney because I believe he's on injured reserve still. He hasn't been able to practice. So we'll see how the tight ends are utilized. But again, John Brown is looking good to return from a knee injury that he suffered the week before in Las Vegas. And we'll see the offense maybe be able to utilize the weapons a little bit more. I'd like to see Devin Singletary be used a little bit more, whether it's in the pass game or the run game. Maybe some more sweet plays, like, you know, with Isaiah McKenzie, like we did see against the Raiders on that 1/4 down play, like the touchdown run. But that was really it from last week's perspective with McKenzie. I think Brian Daboll and the offense has got a good game plan heading into this week, knowing that they're going to have to probably put up 30 plus points against this Chiefs team in order to have any chance at winning. Like Howard said yesterday, he would have to at least see 28 points put up on the board against this Chiefs team in order to feel comfortable. 27, 28 points. And I feel exactly the same way. I'm hoping, though, it's going to be a very big offensive shootout, because I think if that happens, again, we might see an all-time great game. If it's an absolute offensive shootout between both sides, which, you know, I'm 28. I'm relatively younger. I do remember when the Bills were in the playoffs, though. I do remember that before the drought. There's not a lot of people my age that do remember that. I do. But, you know, I don't remember a game where I've seen an offensive shootout involved with the Bills where they're actually firing back at the other team on all cylinders. If that happens this week, I think we're in for an all-time great game. 803-0551, 888-552-550. What are you concerned about with this game? What are your feelings towards, you know, how much of a must-win this game is? Are you feeling like this is a must-win? You should prove that you're one of the better teams in the NFL. Go out and beat the former Super Bowl champions and really put up a great performance against Patrick Mahomes. Or is this a game where, you know, hey, we understand Kansas City is one of the better teams. If we lose to Kansas City, not a big deal. Let's go beat other teams like New England, and let's go beat the other divisional teams, and let's go, you know, beat some of the other teams later on down the road in the schedule, the teams like Pittsburgh and those sort of teams that you'll be facing later. 803-0550 to join us. Let's head out to the phone lines. Let's go to Jeff in Buffalo. Jeff, good morning. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
How are you doing today?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
I'm just kind of concerned with the way that we've handled QBs and the way they throw on us. And last week, Ryan Tannehill, I believe, had a couple runs where he took out of the pocket. My main concern is our defense and handling Patrick Mahomes. If they can't keep him in the pocket, I mean, don't you think we're going to be in a lot of trouble, that he's just going to keep scrambling on us and getting those first downs, and our D is going to get tired, and then he's just going to launch and touchdown after touchdown?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that's a concern, Jeff. Thanks for the call. I you know, what we saw from Ryan Tannehill certainly wasn't something that we want to see on a regular basis, with other quarterbacks going at it and getting out of the pocket and being able to run. Certainly it was concerning to see the defensive line and how they played, where they would try and get to the inside and they would just be consistently leaving the outside open, the edge open for Tannehill to take off or extend the play by getting out of the pocket and then making the necessary play that he has to do in order to get the ball downfield. Certainly it's a concern, and that's something that Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott are going to have to game plan for. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he's there's a reason why he's an MVP quarterback. There's a reason why he's a Super Bowl MVP. There's a reason why he's one of the best young quarterbacks that maybe the NFL has ever seen. If he can go out there and he can move the ball against this Bills defense, it's going to be concerning. But certainly, it'll help having guys like Matt Milano back in the lineup. It'll help having guys like Tre'Davious White back in the lineup. Maybe Josh Norman will bounce back from the performance that he had last week. Maybe he'll take that stiff arm as a little bit of inspiration for himself to maybe go out there and step up and be more of an impact on the field. We'll see. But thanks for the call, Jeff. You brought up a very valid point, and that's something that's definitely going to have to be paid attention to. Let's head out to the phone lines again. Let's go to Matt on his cell phone. Matt, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, you know, the one thing I want to say is, like, we need to get out of the mindset that we need to get out of this, like, loser mentality that we've been stuck in for so long here, that, like, oh, there's a good team coming to town, like, we're never going to beat them, blah, blah, blah. Like, we need to start saying, like, we're a good team, like, how are they going to beat us? Like, we need to stop worrying about how we're going to win and start worrying about, or start thinking about, like, how the other team can beat us. And I think, you know, it's not really, like, it doesn't matter what the players, because I think they have that mindset already. But, I mean, us as fans, we need to stop always assuming that we're going to lose just because it's a good team. I mean, Tennessee, we were a good team last week, and Tennessee, like destroyed us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it was because we're a little overconfident, whatever the case might be, but it doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Josh Allen is a baller. And
yeah.
I don't know if there's any other quarterback, including, well, obviously maybe Mahomes, but other than Mahomes, I don't know if there's any other quarterback I'd rather have at this point. Because I don't even think Allen scratched the surface of, like, what he can actually become.
Yeah, Matt, that's a very valid point. Thanks for the call. And you definitely made a valid point where, I mean, it has been this mentality over the years, but, I mean, given what the teams that we've had in Buffalo over the years, you know, before the past couple at the very least, where, you know, yeah, you're kind of hoping at that point, you know, you can get a win over a team that's really good. This is probably the first time in a long time where, you know, the Chiefs come into town and we're thinking, okay, we have a chance. Certainly Tuesday's game didn't help because of the way that Buffalo did just lose. But again, you know, injuries didn't help. And I think the Bills were just put in a really bad spot early on after that opening drive interception. And again, it snowballed. As long as that doesn't happen again, I think this week is going to be just fine. And Matt brings up the point where there's no quarterback I'd rather have maybe other than Patrick Mahomes right now than Josh Allen on this team, and the fact that he's been a baller all season. Very valid point, Matt. Very, very valid point. And I'll be honest here. I'll be honest. I'm sat in this chair doing hosting stuff for this station for quite, you know, since I've been here, I've been in this chair quite a bit. And the last time, one of the times that I was in this chair was the Sports Thunder night that we had right after the draft when we drafted Josh Allen. And I remember sitting here at 4 a.m, I think it was, because I hosted from 4 to 6 before I had to go on the other side of the glass here where Corey's sitting. And I remember sitting here thinking, you know, why did we take Josh Allen? Josh Rosen's a better pocket quarterback. The Bills haven't had a guy that is, you know, a sustainable guy that can throw the ball well and can be more of that presence and make smart decisions. And I was down, and I remember saying clearly, you know, hey, I'll be absolutely happy if I'm sitting here 2 or 3 years from now. And what I'm saying tonight, this morning, will say, you know, hey, if Old Takes Exposed can find this and then tweet it out and saying like, oh, look at the doubt that these guys had in Josh Allen and it was all put out there, I wouldn't care. And I'm sitting here 3 years from that. And I'm thinking, or 2 years, I should say, but we're in the third season of Josh Allen now. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I definitely was wrong. I definitely can look back and confidently say I was 1,000% wrong about that. And Josh Allen is a baller. And Josh Allen has been able to go out and prove time and time again people wrong with his ability. And this week is certainly a week where I really want to see Josh Allen take that next step in his game. You're facing one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Patrick Mahomes. You're going up against a Super Bowl champion team in the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champions. It's all about, for me, with Josh Allen, let's, you know, contain the excitement and contain the hype, with what we've seen from Allen. Sometimes he does tend to get overhyped and overexcited, and he gets a little jittery. Contain that. Focus in. Go out there and put up the best performance you can against one of the best teams. Because I really want to see an offensive shootout in this game. I want to see both teams putting up 30 points. I'd love to see both teams put up 40 points. Remember the game a few years ago when it was Drew Brees and the Saints against Eli Manning and the Giants? Yes, I know, Eli Manning and the Giants. But the game was an offensive shootout from start to finish. The game ended, I think, 52-48 or 52-49. Saints won. All-time game, all-time offensive game. If this can happen between a guy like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, it's going to make it even that much better. That much better. Because, yes, we know Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer, no doubt in my mind. Eli Manning, is he a Hall of Famer? I don't know. I think he can be a Hall of Famer, but I don't think he should get in right away. But we're looking at two guys here, Josh Allen, who's trying to make his valid point to be an MVP type of player this year, to really step out and prove I'm one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes, who is a surefire top quarterback in the NFL. If we're seeing an offensive shootout between these two players this week in one of the highest scoring games that maybe we'll see all year, I'm all for it. Mike in the car, Ray and Clarence. Hold on to your spots on the line. We'll get to you as soon as we can. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Got to hit a break here. Matt Parrino coming up at noon. Soren Petro at 1230. Joe, you're net one right here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Brayton Wilson here, filling in for Nate Geary this week. Joe from Rochester texts in that he's really worried that this is going to be another soul-crushing spanking like last week. The Chiefs are a better defensive and offensive team by far than Tennessee, and this could get really ugly because we have shown we have utterly no pass rush. So I think this game is going to be big, big trouble for the Bills. They have not shown that they can slow down a team like Miami, let alone the defending champions. We better watch out that we do not get embarrassed, and he says in all bold caps and underline, embarrassed. Again, I'm not so worried. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at this a little more optimistically than some people, but I'm not entirely super worried that the Bills are going to respond with another embarrassment against the Chiefs. I get it. The Chiefs are really good. Tennessee is better than we probably expected that they were going to be. But I still think that there's not too much to worry about in terms of getting embarrassed against the Chiefs team.
Are the Chiefs going to have like four drives that start inside the 25?
I mean, it's entirely possible, but I wouldn't think that that would be the case.
I would love to have the Bills get four drives inside the 25 to start. They've been a great offense, and they've been great starting from like their own 10.
Exactly.
So this offense has been producing results in a very difficult way, which is something to feel pretty good about.
I like your point there. I like your point there, Corey. Thank you for chiming in with the whole Titans starting inside the 25. That happened too much this past Tuesday, and that was a huge factor. I'll be honest, Ray and Clarence, feel free to call back at 1 o'clock, because that's when I really want to dive into the Sabres and when I want to dive in, because you bring up a great point. I want to do take your phone call, but if you're available around 1 o'clock, feel free to call back, because that's when I'll dive into some Sabres talk. But right now, I'm going to go out to the phone lines. We're going to go to Mike in the car. Mike, good morning. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thanks. I was wondering if you see the Bills making a move for a veteran pass rusher, somebody like Ryan Kerrigan, towards the deadline. And as far as Scott, and I'm digging what he's doing, the only thing I want to say is I don't want him to completely lose the running part of his game. I mean, I would like to see one or two more called runs. But other than that, I think Josh is becoming a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, sure thing, Mike. Thanks for calling in. I definitely would love to see the Bills at least gauge interest in the pass rushing market or some way to improve the defensive line heading into the trade deadline, which is coming up on Election Day. Of all days that they're going to have the trade deadline this year, it has to be on the same day as Election Day. But I'm not sure what exactly is out on the market. I kind of tried to do a little bit of research, and you know, Ryan Kerrigan's name I did see. Another name that I did see from the Falcons that could be available is Takaris McKinley, who former first round pick. He would be an interesting name to potentially add. I would love to see the Bills try to make an addition on the defensive line to really help get to the quarterback. And it took until now for all of us to realize just how much we truly did miss Star Lotulelei on the defensive line. But and yeah, with your pointing about Singletary, I would love to see him get a little more involved in the offense, because I think that he can be utilized in a way. I've said this before, and I'll say it again with the way that I watch. The way that I watch Devin Singletary on the field, he does remind me of a little bit of LeSean McCoy, just with his shiftiness and his creativity when he has the ball in his hand. Certainly is a piece that could be utilized a little bit more, especially against Kansas City, who doesn't have exactly the greatest run defense in the NFL. We'll step aside, take a timeout. When we come back, we'll chat with Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com. He joins us from Bills practice and get his thoughts on this week's game. And again, Soren Petro will join us at 12:30 to talk a little bit more about this Sunday's matchup from a Chiefs perspective. 803-0550 to join us. Two more hours to go of Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.